And abortion is the killing of a human being. Murder is wrong. Anywhere in the Bible that says that? Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity we have to come together. Thank you for your word to us, the things that we can learn from it, even concerning many of the issues that are happening in our world right now. Thank you that you, while you may not directly address some of these things, you do indirectly address them. There is nothing new under the sun. Okay, tonight's lesson was a difficult one for me to prepare, and I'm not going to blame it on coming off of vacation because I actually prepared this several weeks ago. But it wasn't difficult in that it was a hard study to understand or even a hard study to properly communicate. It wasn't difficult because it took a lot of brain power, but it was difficult kind of on an emotional level. I got choked up several times as I prepared this lesson, and I'm not typically an emotional guy, but we're going to talk about abortion tonight. And I'm going to tell you right up front that I'm not going to describe or look at, the disgusting details of how this stuff takes place. That's not my goal here tonight. But this lesson, and this I think is kind of why it affected me, this lesson perhaps more than any other lesson that we have looked at or probably will look at is going to expose the level of depravity in our world and in our country perhaps more than any other. That said, here are two things in that vein. I don't know your situation. I know all of you. I know some of you really well, but I don't know all of your situation. And certainly as this is going to be going online, I'm addressing those who will be watching this. So I'm going to ask you to please bear with this lesson to the end. If you're brave enough to sit in and listen to it right now, please follow through with it to the end because it does end well, all right? So I'm asking to bear with it to the end. Secondly, brace yourselves because while I'm not going to get terribly graphic with the lesson, there is a section coming up within this lesson tonight that won't be pleasant to hear. And it demonstrates really why abortion is happening the way it is right now. We are in this country, in our world, reaching a level of wickedness that really hasn't been seen since the days of Noah. We shouldn't be surprised with that. But how wicked was it in the days of Noah? Genesis 6:5 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So everything that man thought and did in that point in time, it was wickedness because it was all about me. Me, and what I want, what's best for me, okay? Not looking out for other people, certainly not caring about what God thinks or says. And here we are. I think we're rapidly approaching that brink right now again. And again, I don't think we should be surprised. If you would, let's start out tonight and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I think we've read this passage at least once already in the course of this series. Romans chapter 1, and let's begin with verse 28. And I just want you to look at some of the words that are used here, and then we'll ask a few questions of the passage. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." We see that, I mean, this was happening in places in Paul's day, but we see this increasing and increasing on a worldwide scale right now. And our topic tonight is about human life. Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to look specifically at human value, the world's perspective, God's perspective, okay? But tonight we're talking about abortion, and that is certainly connected to human value and human life. But as we look at this list, look at it again and tell me which characteristics in these verses directly degrade the value of human life. Can you see some there that directly degrade the value of human life?
Murder.
Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. Anything else?
Without natural affection.
Okay, and I'm trying to think of what, which one that would be in my translation here. Probably, well, okay, could be unloving, yeah. Covetousness, right? Wickedness in general, maliciousness, envy. Yeah, most of them, right? Most of them, I think, if you get right down to it, degrade human life. So which ones indirectly degrade human life? The rest of them. Yeah. The rest of them. They really do. Even haters of God, I think, is we're in hating the Creator, what does that say about His creation? Even that last one, that is those who haven't necessarily participated in these things, but approve or tolerate those who do. According to this passage, they're as guilty as the people that are doing these things. Abortion is our topic, and we're going to see the above verses fleshed out. Perfect term there in this topic as we look at it. This topic, believe it or not, I think does stem off of and is very closely connected to climate change and overpopulation, our last two topics. And really, from the world's perspective, if this world is all that there is, if this life is all that there is, I better do whatever I need to do, whatever I think is necessary to make my life the very best for me. And from, again, the world's view, abortion may be what is best for me. So this topic is connected to our previous two topics in that regard. But abortion Here's a definition if you're interested. It is simply a procedure to end a pregnancy, all right? And that is the textbook definition of it. An abortion can be done chemically, it can be done surgically, but it has been one of the most controversial contemporary issues that there is, certainly in this country of late. And very passionate people on either side of the issue. And it centers on a fundamental disagreement over the question of bodily autonomy, whether a person has the right to terminate a pregnancy. So we're going to get right into this tonight and look at the first of our four-point outline, and that is the worldly view. The worldly view is my body, my choice. My body, my choice. Just like I have the right to pierce my ears, just like I have the right to get a tattoo or even have a tattoo removed, just as I have the right to have body-altering surgery, have fat cells sucked out from underneath my skin, I have the right, the world says, to alter or eliminate any cells in my body. They're part of me, and I can do with my body that those things that I please. My body, my choice. Here is how this is defined as a moral argument, okay? Those people that have the worldly view of my body, my choice, they claim it's a moral argument, okay? And this is how they put forth that argument, and this is just a simple statement from a pro-choice website. The pro-choice side of this issue argues that people have the right to choose to have an abortion because they have bodily autonomy, complete control over their own bodies. They believe then that it is immoral for the government or anyone else to make medical decisions on behalf of them, on behalf of pregnant people. Thus, the pro-choice perspective opposes federal, state, or local laws that can restrict access, impede funding, or create illegal obstacles for getting an abortion. Now, again, I got that statement from a pro-choice website, so these are their words, but we're going to see in a few minutes that even their own words kind of betray them, betray their own beliefs. But the worldly view is my body, my choice. The worldly response then is obviously pregnancies are aborted. Pregnancies are aborted. This pregnancy is just a bunch of cells growing in my body, and I have the right to terminate the growth and remove those cells from my body. To an enormous degree, there are a lot of people doing it. Does anyone know the current proposed statistics of how many people have died from COVID-19 in the world? Anybody know what the current stat is right now? Is it up that high? Okay. Because I think about 3 weeks ago it was at 1.5. About 1.5. So it. Okay, all right. So, all right, we'll go with the higher number. Let's say it is 3 million people that have died from COVID-19 as they propose it. All right. Does anybody know the proposed statistic as to how many abortions happen in the world? Jeff? 60 million. Yeah, 56 million was the number I got. That is per year. Per year, 56 to 60 million abortions every single year. That's 37, 38 times the amount that COVID, they say, killed in the past year. And by the way, just shy of 1 million per year in this country. I think last year's was 850,000, right around that. And I know that the argument is that these are incomparable, all right? The worldly side of the argument would say that you can't compare COVID deaths to abortions because you can't compare people to a cluster of cells, right? So before we look at the biblical view and response, we need to define some words. And we're not going to define them from how the Bible describes them. I'm going to define these words using the world's definitions. So let me read a statement. This is a statement from Planned Parenthood concerning the service of abortion. It's just a brief, very simple statement, but we're going to define some words from it, all right? Or actually, one word in particular. Short statement right from Planned Parenthood website. Planned Parenthood website says, abortion is a safe way to end a pregnancy. Get the facts about the abortion pill and in-clinic abortion. So, we're just going to take one word from that very simple statement, and it's the word pregnancy. What is the definition of the word pregnancy? Do you know? All right, right from the dictionary, pregnant is defined as having a child developing. All right, so right from their own, they've already addressed it as more than just the clump of cells. They've addressed it as having a child developing. What is the definition of a child? Human being, right? It is a person, a young human being. So even by the world, I know maybe I'm oversimplifying this, but when you define a word like pregnancy, you have to take the definition for what it means, don't you? So even Planned Parenthood says that they are terminating a child. We can take this a little further just because. Using Planned Parenthood's own words, abortion is the ending of a child's life. In fact, if we take a step back and even look at the embryonic stages of pregnancy, anyone know what the definition of an embryo is? Because that would be their claim then. It's not a human, it's just an embryo. Jeff? Okay, it's defined as an unborn offspring in the process of development. That's the definition of an embryo. In particular, a human offspring during the period of 1 to 8 weeks. I mean, that's the earliest stages. So now we need to define offspring then. Offspring defined is defined as a person. Child or children. So that is what's being aborted. They can use whatever terms they like, but even in their own terminology, they clearly understand that it is a child, a human being that is being terminated in an abortion. And these definitions do fit in line with the Bible's view of things. So if these are the world's definition, how can it justify its response? Remember the wickedness we talked about when we began here tonight. And perhaps more than any other, this topic exposes the wickedness of the world. Back in August, I received a newsletter, and some of you probably received this publication as well. It was from Answers in Genesis. Their ministry, Ken Ham is the founder of that ministry. And in the August issue of their newsletter, they talked about a new exhibit that they have at their creation museum. And it displays in realistic model form the development of the human baby in a womb. And on their Facebook page, they then posted a photo of the model of an eight-week-old baby in the womb with its eyes, its nose, its arms, its legs, a very clearly developing human being. And they did this because the world wants to believe that within that first trimester, it's just a clump of cells. Well, after 8 weeks, it's actually looking very, very human. So they posted this photo on their Facebook page, got a lot of good response from it, but they got a lot of bad response from it too. The model clearly shows it to be a human, but to justify the world, to justify its response, they have to deny the humanness of it. They basically have to pretend that it isn't human, and in doing so, the wickedness of the world was exposed again, like I've never seen it. And this is kind of why I started tonight as I did. Here's how the world responds to human life. Here are some of the comments that were posted on Facebook under the photo of an eight-week-old unborn baby. And these are comments that were posted from people like your neighbor, okay? Ken Ham should have been aborted. The next time I donate to Planned Parenthood, I will do it in his name. I'm going to dedicate my first abortion to you when the time comes. People talking to answers in Genesis. Ooh, I want to go and step on one and hear it squish under my boot. I'd get pregnant and have abortions just so I could donate all the fetuses to this cause. Just doing the Lord's work, they say. What a cute little bundle of cells. Fetuses make great fertilizer for plants, something that's actually alive. Are they edible as is, or do you need to boil them first? And some of these I'm not even going to read. But these are people that you might know. These are people that you might know. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with wickedness, maliciousness, murder, evil-mindedness, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. I'm going to read you one more section from this. And this is from one of the moderators of their Facebook page. She says, as myself and two other social media moderators sorted through the myriad of comments, I noticed a common theme. Nearly all of the nasty comments came from people, men and women, largely women, who appeared to be in their mid to late 20s. She says, think about that. The future teachers, educators, voters, and parents, if they even choose to have children. Really, our future society thinks it's funny to laugh and joke about not just killing, but eating unborn children as if they're candy. And I won't even read this last section because some of the comments were even worse than the ones that I read. But they even took it to an entirely more horrifying level. She continues, not only do individuals believe such depraved things, but they're proud of it. They're willing to put it on social media for all their friends and family, as well as strangers, to see. They know abortion kills a baby, but they don't care. They openly laugh at and celebrate the idea that they have the power and privilege to kill that unborn human life. If that doesn't make you weep for the future, I don't know what will. As the vile comments began to pour in, I called the manager of my department to determine the most efficient way of curbing the spew of filthy comments. As I shared with him what I was seeing on the post, I couldn't help breaking down into tears. These people were so callous, defending and celebrating the destruction of a life made in the image of God. She ends it saying, "How desperately does our world need Christ and the truth of his word?" Godly lives matter. You and I, our godly lives, we matter. And because it's us proclaiming the truth of Christ and the truth of his word that is going to change the hearts and minds of those around us, our neighbor. Anyway, we need to know the biblical view and respond in a biblical way. And just like the world's definition of an embryo in pregnancy, really the biblical view, abortion is indeed the killing of a human being. And right now, I'm just going to ask again, bear with us to the end. We're going to look at the biblical view of this for a few minutes here. But bear with us to the end. We need to end with a proper biblical response here tonight. But the biblical view is abortion is the killing of a human being. The Bible itself does not directly address abortion. I don't know of any place in Scripture where the deliberate terminating of an unborn child is addressed. And there are many in the world, some even in the church, that would then say it must be okay because God doesn't address it. He doesn't say anything about it. Well, he doesn't say anything about euthanasia either. The supposed merciful killing of a person with a reduced quality of life. Nor does the Bible say anything about eugenics, which is the weeding out of people with mental and physical handicaps, terminating those lives, the lives of those who are underdeveloped or not completely developed. Okay, so that must be okay too, if that's the case. But human life, regardless of what stage of development it is in or capacity of life it has, is valuable. And abortion is the killing of a human being. Murder is wrong. Anywhere in the Bible that says that? Okay, it's in the Ten Commandments, and even the world, for the most part, knows most of them. Exodus 20:13, "You shall not murder." So let's go ahead and turn to another passage in Exodus. Exodus chapter 21. And we'll begin with verse 12. Exodus chapter 21, and look at verse 12, again, just kind of emphasizes what the Ten Commandments said, actually in Exodus chapter 20, but in 21 verse 12 it says, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death." So murder is wrong, but I want to take you just quickly to another passage of Scripture that has been used to justify abortion. And there's a little bit of reasoning that is used by the worldly view of this passage to get there, but it's right here in Exodus chapter 21 as well. But it's down to verses 22 through 25. It says there, If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And where the argument comes in is that they believe that in the Hebrew, rather than it saying, rather than it saying she gives birth prematurely, it actually means that she has a miscarriage. In fact, there is one, I know of one translation of the Bible that actually says the word miscarriage. Any of yours? No? Okay. And I can't remember which translation uses it, but that's their argument. They say in the Hebrew, that actually means that she has that she had a miscarriage, and then the only thing that happened was the guy got fined for it, right? Let's read it like that. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, and she has a miscarriage, yet no harm follows, and they would say to the woman, all right, and he shall pay, or he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So let's just take that passage for a minute, and let's just, for the sake of it, say it is a miscarriage. What do you think about that? Do you think it can mean a miscarriage? And then there's just a fine imposed. Jeff?
No, I think again, relate to a miscarriage, but it says, and no harm follow. That to me is both to the mother and the child.
Okay.
Because life was sacred in the Hebrews, you know. So what they're saying is that the baby should survive, and there's, you know, no harm to the mother and the child, then he's just going to pay a fine. But then you read further.
Right, right, for sure. Dave?
New American Standard seems to imply miscarriage.
Okay.
So that her fruit be part.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Doesn't say die, though.
No.
All right, okay. No, good point. And I can't remember what translation it was that had miscarriage in it now. I think it might be the American Standard. But anyway. So what do you think about that, though, and then the guy's only fined? Okay, there is a punishment. It's a lesser punishment. In our law, is there a, if a person gets killed, is there a difference in the punishment for the person that kills them, and what determines that?
Intent.
All right. So there's a difference in punishment between murder and manslaughter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Accidental.
So these guys are fighting, and it was an accident.
That's right. They didn't murder the child. That was an accident. And so if it actually is a miscarriage, all right, then that does stand to reason. But this passage is being used to justify abortion, and abortion is a deliberate attack on that baby. That is murder. That is a difference. Absolutely.
And then there's no injury. Why does God specifically bring up the child if that child
right.
isn't
there? I think you're absolutely right. And that's kind of the point that I'm wanting to make here. Even if the baby did die in the attack, the reason that there is only a fine rather than a life for life is because it was accidental. It wasn't a deliberate attack on that child, where abortion is a murder. So just three quick things. If it is a miscarriage, it couldn't be classified as a murder in this case because it happened accidentally as the men were fighting. It's not a murder. It would be what we classify today as manslaughter. However, secondly, the more accurate, I believe, translation is premature birth, for it indicates that perhaps no serious harm was done, or at least noticeable at this point in time. And then thirdly, if harm does happen as a result, if deemed even manslaughter, then it is life for life. So God does, it takes human life very seriously, and to take this passage and relate it to God seeing abortion as, an unborn baby as less than human, it just does not work with the passage that they use here. Individual, back up here a second. All right, so we've, in the biblical view, abortion is the killing of a human baby. We noted here that murder is wrong. Individual, scripturally, individual life begins at conception. If you would turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." All right. While the emphasis here is most definitely on God's purpose for Jeremiah, what are some indications that he was indeed an individual human being, his own person, even at conception? Jeff?
He can't know a lump of cells.
Okay, he can't know a lump of cells, nor would you call him a you, all right? Or a prophet, yeah. Anything else? What's that, Becky? Okay. He was set apart, mm-hmm. What does the word form mean? Okay. All right. It's actually the definition, textbook definition, is to mold into a shape. And I think the word is used there, before I formed you or molded you into the shape of a human, you were a human. All right. Let's turn to another one, Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verses 13 through 16. Says there, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Just quickly, here are some of the terms used in this passage that refer to a person. inward parts, frame, and unformed substance. All of those terms are referred to as a person in this passage. So even when we were in the form of an unformed substance, we were people of whom God already knew and had plans for. So again, abortion is the killing of a human being. So the argument of my body, my choice is not valid, for that person is not altering their own body or even part of their own body. They are terminating someone else's body. In 1977, an egg was removed from Leslie Brown and placed in a test tube, and then combined with her husband's sperm in that test tube. In that instant, Louise Joy Brown began to form completely separate from her mother. She began to form there. She was then placed back in her mother's womb to completely develop and 9 months later be born as the very first ever test tube baby. So it was a baby human by the scientific classification, even in that test tube. A separate individual from beginning to end, just like every other baby. Again, so the argument of my body, my choice is not valid because it's not my body we're talking about when it comes to an abortion. The biblical view of abortion as the killing of a human being, the proper biblical response really has several important facets, and we're going to end with this. We're about done here. But I want to give you a very brief list. There's actually four items I'm going to give you right here under the biblical response. Number one is this: don't trade what is best for what seems good. Don't trade what is best for what seems good. And let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And again, this is part of the biblical response to abortion or someone even that is an abortion-minded. Don't trade what is best for what seems good. And in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God says there, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Take that in conjunction with Jeremiah 29:11. It says there, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, in the context of what we just read here, it's actually speaking to the nation of Judah. And Judah was in a very terrible place at that point in time, captive in a foreign land, and then God told them this: "I have plans for you. I know things are terrible, terrible right now. They seem that way. But you see, my thoughts are higher than yours. My plans for you are better than yours. And you need to understand that right now, even in the place that you are. Don't trade what is best for what seems good." And they were doing that at that point in time. Even the absolute worst conditions can be turned into something wonderful, peaceful, hopeful. You see, God knows our future, and he wants to make it into something great, even despite our mistakes and our wrong thinking sometimes. There have been women that have gotten pregnant through the worst of ways: rape, incest. But some of these would now not trade that wonderful child from that evil event for anything. Others have given up that baby for adoption to parents that would want nothing more. Or they this was their dream, to have a baby, and they couldn't have one. There are other women where they were in danger of death if they stayed pregnant. And God did provide safety for them. But regardless of all that, God's ways, his thoughts, his plans, they're always better than ours. And there is nothing, nothing so important in one's life that could justify the taking of someone else's so that one can have what they think they want. On the other side of things, there are women that have lived with regret for doing what seemed good to them at the time, never knowing what could have been. Romans 8:28 tells us that we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And there is nothing so important in our life that could justify the taking of someone else's. Don't trade what is best for what seems good. The second thing I want to touch on here as far as a biblical response to those who have been abortion-minded or are abortion-minded or even have had an abortion, and that is forgiveness is available. Isaiah 55 again, verses 6 and 7 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God doesn't want people to carry the burden of guilt from past sins. God is a forgiving God, and he still wants what is the absolute best for you from this point forward. In fact, he will comfort you in your burden. He will comfort you in your trial with the specific intent that you might be able to comfort someone else who is going through or maybe will go through the exact same thing that you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." God doesn't want people to carry around the burdens of guilt from past sins. He wants to forgive and even use you in the lives of others. Thirdly, under proper biblical response, is empathize with selfishness. Really, this is for those of us who perhaps have not participated in an abortion, and it's toward those, us, toward those who have. The abortion was done out of selfishness, but it's not like we've never been selfish. So empathize. Empathize with that selfishness. Forgive them as the Father has forgiven you. And then fourthly, treasure human life from this point forward. Genesis chapter 1, 27, 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul says, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's the love of God for us. That is the love of God for those that perhaps have gone down this road, have thought about going down this road. God doesn't want you to carry that burden. He wants to forgive you. He wants to show you just how valuable life is, your life is. So with that, we're just going to go ahead and close in prayer tonight. So Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful for your word to us that very clearly shows us not only when life begins, but very clearly shows us just how valuable it is to you. Lord, I pray that we would demonstrate that love to those around us. Our life in view of those around us is very important. Our godly life does matter, and it does matter a lot. Not only our view of abortion, but our gracious, gentle, forgiving response to it. Thank you for this lesson tonight. We do live in a world right now that is growing more and more wicked, but our commission hasn't changed. So thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.